From the Roots Up, CIUT 89.5 FM, Toronto.
Welcome to the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor. We're going to talk to Robin Philpott, Baraka Books, about St. John Baptiste Day, which, of course, is special for National Day in Quebec. And I want to understand the relationship between our the nations that make up Canada. The biggest subject is, of course, the ongoing struggle of the people of Gaza for survival. That's their war. Their war is surviving. They are being impeded by the United States, who, together with Israel, decided to make it almost impossible to get proper aid and food in using the crossing at the Egyptian border under the authority of UNRWA. That's a UN relief agency. It's strategic. It is strategic. It's a partnership. And it's a bloody awful, as the British might say, because they are actually trying to steal the authority to distribute food. U.S. hasn't been given any special license. It took the license, makes its own rules. They built a pier, then a storm came and blew the pier away. Then they put the pier back. And they talk about they are the ones providing food. And we've had airdrops. I notice airdrops seem to be gone for the moment, but these are just propaganda games being played. But what we're actually witnessing is the theft of international authority, the United Nations, or combination of nations, to deliver humanitarian aid and assistance to a suffering people. This has nothing to do with the combatants. It's supposedly part and parcel of any crisis, humanitarian crisis, is that some agency is named and has the responsibility to see to it that non-combatants, civilians, are protected. Well, we're living in a dystopian world where people who are civilians are called terrorists. So from the Israeli point of view, they're bombing terrorists. That's what they think they're doing. So if a child dies, that child's tough luck because it belongs to a group that is terrorist. That's actually the madness that we're dealing with. That's why South Africa took the case to the International Court of Justice and clearly was supported by world opinion. I haven't seen our little leaders go out and pretend that they any longer speak for world opinion or represent the international community as a little game they play once in a while. But, oh, we of the international community. Well, we of the international community is actually Five Eyes, and it is English-speaking white Protestant. That's what it is. It's Christian Freeland's idea of the world. And so they have interfered with and don't make it a urgent issue to reassert United Nations responsibility, which was there for all these years that Gaza has been there, the principal institution providing care to the civilians and assistance, etc., which was a decision that's an international body not to be laughed at. But instead of laughing at it, what the U.S. does is pretend it's not even there. And they try to create a new story where they are the savior in that when the mood strikes them, they drop a little food or they bring it in on trucks from the pier that occasionally washes away. And this kind of sadistic humanitarianism is passed off on everybody as trying to be helpful. We spoke of this on the program last week. There is no, at present, there isn't any formula for ending the crisis, the humanitarian crisis. I'm not talking about the war. The humanitarian, there is no international agreement on that. And the famous talks we hear about are basically the oldest phenomenon that we've lived with in this modern period, which is a U.S. hegemonic control of the region. So if there are talks, all talks have to lead to Washington. But Washington is an ally and principal supplier of lethal weapons, and tremendously lethal weapons, by the way, most advanced weapons available in the world. Those weapons are supplied by the United States to Israel. Now, today's news is that Netanyahu, the president or leader, whatever you want to call him, of Israel, is naming Biden as letting him down. He's like the guy on a conveyor belt. Hurry this thing up. You're slowing the conveyor belt down. And so we have this kind of little petty Punch and Judy show between Netanyahu and Joe Biden. And the international criminality lies in the fact that Canada is just on the sidelines with an ice cream cone watching. And whatever Washington wants to do is okay. And, of course, all the other powers of the West play along. And so it's a very ugly situation. Fortunately, there are people who really worldwide are reacting. We have been praising the Occupy U of T. That's a Twitter. Go to Occupy U of T. We have spoken to Aaron Mackey on the program, who's one of the spokespersons, and the University of Toronto has gone to court once again, or I guess it's the first time, looking for an injunction to exercise power over their students and their faculty too. You know, they tried to play the game that this was an outside thing, that these are extremists and blah, blah. As it turned out, the Occupy U of T is a very mature, very sober, and very politically clear about what they want. And actually, what they're doing is the logical thing you do when you see the United Nations General Assembly votes and you see the International Court of Justice decisions that are saying to Israel that what you're doing has to stop. And as to what type of crime it is, that's yet to be assessed, but civilians are being unnecessarily targeted and destroyed. And the human beings, students at the University of Toronto, and that's who they are, of all faiths, they are Muslims, they are Jews, they are Christians, these Occupy people. And they are exemplary in that they're showing that democracy is more than going to a ballot box. It's actually speaking up. It's addressing an issue when it's immediate. And they deserve all praise for that and support. And I do urge you to go to their site, Occupy U of T. You could also go to Aaron Mackey, at Aaron Mackey. Update yourself. We want to congratulate Erin. She graduated. I don't know if any people know she graduated. And she said that she appeared there. And they searched her and removed a banner that she had. But she had it's hard to outsmart Erin. She had a, emergency banner team. So when she reached the stage, they gave it to her, and she went to the center of the stage and held her banner, disclose and divest. Good for her. She got plenty of support and shouts of welcome. People say, oh, my goodness, a decorum. What world have they lived in? There's never been any decorum. And when you have absolute decorum, you have absolute authoritarianism. It's like a little five-minute speech by a little five-minute person, and then you have a 10-minute speech by a 10-minute person, and everybody looks real sober, and mom and dad have their picture taken. That is a joke. That's a farce. And living in a human society, people really express themselves, and that's what they've been doing. I would say to the graduates, all of the graduates, congratulations, and guess what? You will be remembered, and you will thank heaven that something actually happened, so that when your grandchildren talk to you, you say, yes, I graduated, and you know what happened. Erin Mackey came, and she held up a banner, and it said, disclose and divest. And there were camera people, and there was all kinds of excitement. So it was an exciting graduation. And so that's what makes it memorable. And now there have been, incidentally, the media have been trying to play this down or turn it into something. We really ought to be very unhappy and speak out against the major media people, because they're looking to make it sensational. They're looking to play down or to find disagreements and see if they can get a picture of an ugly person with somebody with, you know, that they can portray as a bad person. And they ought not to do that. What they really ought to do, some of the journalists should say, how are these demonstrations different than previous ones? Because we've had moments in history. And some are comparing this period to the 1960s. And one obvious thing that stands out to me is that the women who are leading, and they are on most and almost right across North America, are far superior in their maturity, sobriety, and exactitude when it comes to talking about issues. There's very little of the, what we used to, I guess, was testosterone style of the noisy or the, you know. They've really been exemplary people. And that's where I would start the analysis, because there was a great movement following the 60s, where they said, well, you know, we don't have equality. It's a male, white male dominated leadership. And the white males were too often fractious and intolerant people, actually, with each other, and let alone the other side. So I think we should be celebrating Erin Mackey and others who have been providing this leadership. Before we talk to Robin Philpott of Baraka Books, I want to make sure I announce something here. Jeff Halper, an Israeli anthropologist and political activist in Israel for these many years, is going to be talking in Hamilton and Toronto. He's coming in July. He will be in Hamilton on July 2nd. At 7:30 p.m., Hamilton, July 2nd, 7:30 p.m., 170 Dundurn Street South at the Unitarian Church. And it's sponsored by, among others, the Independent Jewish Voices and the Hamilton Coalition to Stop the War. And on July 4, at 7 p.m., at the Friends House, where else? Quakers, bless their hearts, Quakers. Everybody should be very appreciative of the place in history of Quakers. They led the fight against slavery, at least in moral terms. They were among the first. July 4, 7 p.m., the Friends House, friend's house at 60 Lowther. And Science for Peace and Independent Jewish Voices, again, are sponsors. So July 2nd, July 4th, and Jeff Halper, a Israeli anthropologist, he's going to be arguing, making the argument, moving towards a democratic state for all between the river and the sea. And as you know, if you say river and the sea, a crowd will turn up. It's one phrase that's got everybody excited.